Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Listen to those congressmen arguing. Is all that discussion and debate about you?
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones. Most bills never even get this far. I hope they decide to report on me favorably, otherwise I may die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee.
Well, it didn't die in committee. In fact, everyone's expecting tomorrow for the Senate Finance Committee to approve Max Baucus's health care bill, and then it gets out of committee. And then it moves into the full Senate. So we're going to get the details on exactly what goes on in this very messy process, often compared to making sausage. And joining us now to explain how this process works is David Kilpatrick. He's the Washington correspondent for our partners, the New York Times, and Dave Leventhal, communications director to the Center for Responsive Politics. That's a nonprofit watch group that tracks the influence of money on public policy. Good morning, both of you. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Good morning. Good to be here.
So, tracking the influence of money on public policy, Dave, that sounds like exactly what we need here to explain what has gone in, what got the axe, what is not in this bill, and what is in it. So let's talk about what actually did not make it into this bill.
Well, the thing that when you think about health care reform, you think about insurance so often, but there are a whole variety of different things that different entities have been lobbying on over the past many months, and you have things like generic drug provisions. You have things like the public plan option, which are more high profile. But then you have other things like, abortion issues. You have, other elements too that are still being debated. The way that taxation is going to work, they're still being bandied about right now. So it's really just a huge piece of legislation that is being fought on many fronts here.
So, David Kirkpatrick, you have to make sense of this for the New York Times all the time. So explain to me, what exactly is in this bill? Give me the 10-cent rundown. What are the points of this bill?
Oh, that'll be no problem at all. It's a 1,000-page bill, and I'll just rattle off 10 bullet points. No way. This thing is unbelievably complicated. We're talking about 1/6 of the American economy. So the core ideas are to do two things at once. One, extend insurance coverage to a lot of people who don't have it now, getting up to maybe 94%. No, not all of them. Would there be... not all of them in two groups. First, there's non-citizens, right? So people who are residents of the U.S. but not citizens don't get in. Nobody wants them in. And then there's some people who, even with subsidies, still won't be able to afford it, and there'll be some sort of exemption for them. But, 94-95% of the country is pretty good compared to where we are now. But the trick is, and here's the tricky part, the promise of health care reform is to extend coverage, right, giving more money away, pumping federal money into the system, while at the same time, with the other hand, lowering the growth of costs overall. And the idea is you can go to these interest groups, the doctors, the hospitals, the drug makers, and say, look, we're about to give you a lot of new customers, and as part of the process, we're going to rejigger things so that costs don't keep going up forever and ever. So we got to change some of the ways that we all do business because costs are growing too fast, and this is the opportunity to do them. But there's an innate tension between pumping more money into the system by expanding coverage and at the same time slowing the growth of costs on the other side. And that other part, the slowing the growth of costs, that's what gets people upset. Nobody minds if the federal government wants to give away a lot more money to provide coverage to a lot of people. Everybody likes that. It's when you turn around and say, okay, and we'd also like to pay you a little bit less, that people start hiring lobbyists.
So, Dave Leventhal, you were at the Center for Responsive Politics. You track financial influence, and one of the things that's happened now is we have this new ad campaign saying that it doesn't matter what the Congressional Budget Office said. They said it's gonna save money for the government, but this new ad campaign says this is gonna cost people more if they have private insurance. What's the truth there?
Well, the fact of the matter is that this ad campaign it's come from every direction, and there may or may not be truth to any of the ads that you're seeing. The point is, though, that there are hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars being spent through advertising, through direct lobbying, through other means of influence to try to influence Congress on this. And when you have a bill that is so dense, you have a bill that is so far-reaching, you get the kind of money that's being spent here that is being spent. So is it surprising on one end? No, but we are seeing unprecedented amounts of money being spent on this single issue when compared to almost any other single issue that's been debated in Congress.
Okay, Dave Leventhal, Center for Responsive Politics, can you tell me a story of one thing that got axed out because of actions of lobbying?
Well, I think going back to the generic drugs issue, it's something that really has floated below the radar, but is a very important thing to the pharmaceutical and health products industry. Let's put this in perspective. The pharmaceutical and health products industry has spent $134.4 million, with just the first 6 months of this year having passed. And that's more than oil and gas has spent this year, more than the insurance industry, more than the electric utilities industry. And basically, you know, they were looking toward their bottom line and making sure that in the end that whatever bill is ultimately passed is not going to be something that's going to be detrimental to their ability to sell drugs for as long as they possibly can under their brand names. And that's just one example of where, in the end,
but
it looks
Dave,
like
Dave, can I do the math? Can I do the math in the last second? It seems they spent $141 million by your estimate, and it looks like they will save themselves paying $103 billion by some estimates in the Medicare drug reimbursement, which is going to be at a higher level. So for $141 million, they save $103 billion. Is that about right?
And that's exactly the math that's at work on their side. They want to spend a penny now so they can save a dollar later.
Okay, that's David Leventhal with the Center for Responsive Politics. Quickly, David Kirkpatrick with our partner, the New York Times. This could all change completely now that once we get into the full Senate, right?
And beyond, when we go into conference with the House. That's the big battle right now. If you talk to people on K Street, they're focused on one particular provision. It's a provision that appears, of all the bills now, it appears only in the Senate version.
Right. David, the fact of the matter is this bill is nowhere near the final say. That's David Kirkpatrick, Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, and Dave Leventhal with the Center for Responsive Politics.